Morning, everybody. It's good to be with you. My name's Tony. I'm one of the pastors here. I serve as the Westside Venue Director. Last week, we started a series here called Talking with God, as you saw that video. I was wondering if I should dance up here. I'm going to save you. I'm not going to do that. But over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is looking at this topic of prayer. That we see in the Bible, that we see here in our Christian lives. And today specifically, we are going to look at the interaction that prayer has with our time reading the Bible, reading God's word. You know, as I was thinking about this over the last few weeks, as I was studying and just kind of preparing to give this sermon, you know, I kind of realized that prayer and scripture really have this interconnected relationship to one another. And that kind of spiraled me into thinking just about relationships in general, you know? And really, I think as human beings, we all are just interconnected with so many relationships that we have with people. And I kind of categorized, I figured out there's really four different categories of relationships that I have, not just in my role, but just as a human being. And I think we all kind of share these categories. Those four categories is there's strangers, there's acquaintances, there's friends, and there is family. You know, if you think about yourself, if you think about those categories, it's probably true for you too. You know, strangers, this isn't some interesting word that we don't know. A stranger is just someone that you don't know. There's people in the world that exist that you have never met and that you will probably never meet. Those are strangers. We teach kids stranger danger sometimes, right, to kind of keep them safe. But then you've got acquaintances. Now, acquaintances are people that you maybe see every once in a while, but you don't really know them that well. There just really hasn't been time or intentionality put into the relationship. Maybe it's just someone you see picking off and dropping off at school or someone at the grocery store. Like, those tend to be acquaintances. Friends are people that we know, people that know us, people that love us. We're invested in them, and there's been time and effort put in to the fostering of this relationship. But then you have family. You know, oftentimes, all the time, we aren't really able to choose our family. It's the family that we're born into. We're able to choose who we marry, but family is oftentimes the deepest relationship. Not all the time. For me, the majority of my time and my energy, it goes to those people, goes to my wife, goes to my kids, goes to my parents, it goes to my siblings. And really, this happens due to the frequency with which I've seen them, the amount of time that has been put in fostering this deep relationship that I have with my family. I live with them now, or I've lived with them in the past. So if you think about your own life, you've probably got people in those four categories. And what automatically happens, we don't need to think about this, is we live by different expectations in each category. I mean, you don't go up to a stranger at Kroger and is like, come over for Christmas dinner. Like, that would be kind of crazy. And they actually might, right? But you do that with family, right? There's just different sets of rules and expectations we have for these different relationships. Like, family, they're who we call on in an emergency. They're people that know us, that love us. They know our struggles. They care for us in unique ways. Now, the reason I bring all of this up, this may not seem like it ties in with scripture and prayer, but for me, I couldn't shake this illustration because it helped me think about the relationship that prayer and scripture have in our lives. So today we're going to unpack that. We're going to identify, okay, what is the relationship between scripture and prayer? And here's the thing, here's where I'm going. This is my thesis. This is where I'm convinced. I am convinced that prayer and scripture in our lives are usually strangers. Usually strangers. They're often acquaintances. They could be friends, but what they should be is family. Okay, so that's where we're going. So I'm going to be jumping all around the Bible today because we're in this topical series, so we're going to be all over. So if you have a Bible or your phone, you want to follow along, you can do so on the side screens. But I am going to pray first. And then we're going to jump in, so please pray with me. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for the opportunity to gather today, to open up your word, to see what you have told us about yourself and about prayer, and really about how we should view your word and prayer together. So God, just help me today be clear, but Lord, just help me kind of get out of the way and help your word be the thing that really challenges us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. So what we're going to do first is we're just going to define some terms. I mean, it's going to really be helpful because sometimes you could be talking about something with someone and you're both approaching it from a very different place. So we're just going to start with defining what Scripture is and what prayer is. Okay, so first, what is Scripture or what is the Bible? Well, people refer to it in different ways. You may hear someone call it the Holy Bible or the Holy Scriptures, or some call it God's Word. That's just, those are all just different names for the same thing. But the Bible is God's words to us. It was written by human authors who were divinely inspired by God and the Holy Spirit. And so what that means is that the Bible is inerrant. That's a word that means it is without error in the truth that it communicates to us. We don't need to read the Bible and wonder what's true and what's not. Like, it is the essence of who God is. God is truth. So his word is true. If we want to know who God is, if we want to know who we are, if we want to know what it means to be a Christian, if we want to know what our mission is in the world, it can all be found here in his word. We see a lot of passages in the Bible that help us understand this more clearly. The first thing that we see overwhelmingly is that the Bible tells us about God. It is a book written about the author. We see this really clearly in Psalm chapter 19, starting in verse 7. It says this, "The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, dripping from a honeycomb." Now, this psalm was written by a guy named David. David was a king long before Jesus had come to the earth. He was a king that God had chosen to be over his people. And David wrote much of the psalms that we have in our Bibles. If you were just to take a Bible and open it up to the middle of it, you'd be in the Psalms. And what psalms are, really, they're just prayers. They're laments. They're songs about life and faith. They're so refreshing to read because they are very often how we feel in life. But here in this psalm, we see David writing about the essence of God's character and how it's seen in what God has told us. I mean, look at some of the things that David says. His instruction, meaning God's instruction, is perfect. Renewing one's life. His testimony is trustworthy. Giving us wisdom. His precepts, his commands. All of these things David says, don't miss what he says, they are more desirable than gold. They're sweeter than honey. I mean, we can just taste that. We can see what he's saying there. He's saying this because the scriptures reflect the character of God. If we want to know who God is, we don't first look to other people's opinions. We don't look at how we feel, but we look at this written record that God has given us about himself. This is God's special revelation to us. First and foremost, the Bible is a book about the author. It's about God. The second thing we see is that the Bible actually talks about us. It talks about our condition. It talks about our need for a savior. It talks about our sin. It talks about a way of knowing God, but it also talks about how we should live if we've put our faith in Christ. We see this really clearly, actually, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Look at what it says. It says, "All scripture," not just some scripture, "all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So this letter here, 2 Timothy, is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young pastor friend of his named Timothy. And here we see Paul remind him that not only did the scripture reveal God's character, but they instruct us in how we should live if we've believed in him. And he lists four things that the scripture does here. He says, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, every one of us has received those four things, or needed to receive those four things at some point in our lives, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, what we see is that the scripture does these four things for us. right? We need to be taught. We need to be rebuked. We need to be corrected. We need to be trained. And it's just how we mature. But the Bible is actually really cool in that it does those four things with a very specific end goal in mind. And it's godliness. It does those four things to make us more like Jesus. I mean, many of us, we commit ourselves to training, to correction, to rebuke in some of these areas of our lives, but it's not always godliness. It's like financial freedom, or it's physical fitness, right? Or it's family, or it's relationships. I mean, we listen to endless amounts of podcasts in those categories, don't we? So that we can be trained, so that we can be better. But the thing is, the Bible is where we go for that rebuking, that correction, for that training in becoming more like Christ. It's sanctification. That's the Bible's aim. It's not to just have us be more financially secure. No, the Bible is all about our hearts, our character reflecting the God who made us. See, that is what the scriptures do. We see that they're practical. They instruct us. But the third thing we see is that the Bible clearly reveals Jesus. It reveals the gospel. The gospel is something we talk a lot about here at Riverview because we think it's of the utmost importance. The gospel just means good news. And the good news of Christianity is this, that we are broken people. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? Well, it actually is. Because in our brokenness, we have a God who did something about it. He sent Jesus to the world to live a perfect life we couldn't live, to die on a cross for our sins, and to resurrect from the dead. And it's faith in him that makes us a Christian. The scriptures are about Jesus. And one really cool interaction we see that highlights this is Jesus himself, actually, in Luke chapter 24, after he had been crucified. There's these two guys. This is the Emmaus Road interaction, if you're familiar with the Bible. They're walking home from Jerusalem, this 7-mile walk home, and they're just down and they're depressed because Jesus had just been crucified. And Jesus walks up to them on the road, and he's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And for some reason, they can't, like, God keeps them from knowing who they're talking to. And these guys are like, have you not heard what just happened? And Jesus is like, what happened? You know, it's like this crazy practical joke that Jesus is like, what happened to me? You know, and these guys explained to Jesus what had happened to Jesus 2 days before in getting crucified. And Jesus is walking along the road with them, giving them all this time. And it's really cool what Jesus says. Look at what he says in Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah, me, to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, this is the key part, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Okay, don't miss what Jesus does here. He goes back to the scriptures, the Old Testament, which were the scriptures that these two guys had back then, and he shows them all over the place before Jesus ever arrived on the earth on the scene in the time of Moses, the time of the prophets, like, hey, all that was about me. It was all this giant blinking arrow to this Messiah. The Bible moves us toward Christ. That's its aim, to move us forward in faith. So taking all these things together, what is the Bible? The Bible is the way that God speaks to us. And in it, what we see is who God is. We see who we are, and we see the impact of what Jesus has done for us. Okay, we know what the Bible is now, right? Well, let's move over to what's prayer. Well, if the Bible is how God communicates to us, prayer is the way we communicate back to God. See, it's in prayer that we show our trust and our dependency upon him as we just talk with him. We share our very lives with him. I mean, throughout the Bible, we see a lot of encouragement. We see a lot of exhortation of how we should do this. What should prayer look like? One clear example of this is actually in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it's really commanding us to pray expectantly. This is the Apostle Paul again writing this. He says, don't worry about anything. Do you ever have anyone tell you that? It's never helpful. Like, oh, you're worried? Just don't worry. It's like, not helpful. I'm more worried. But look at what he says. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this is a letter that Paul had written to Christians in Philippi. It's why it's called the Philippians, to a city he had visited. And this encouragement he's giving them, don't miss it, is, hey, pray expectantly. Pray in everything. You know, we often go to that passage as a way to not be anxious. Oh, don't be anxious. See, this is what it says here. But we actually see the means of not being anxious or not being worried. It's coming through prayer. See, we talk with God to present our requests to him with thankful hearts, and we do this expectantly. We're not just talking to the air like, I don't even know if this really works. It feels that way sometimes. But no, we're praying to a God who hears us. And not only does God hear us, but there is tangible fruit. Don't miss what that passage says. That is the solution for anxiety and for worry. Look at what it says in verse 7. We pray this way, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace comes upon through a dependency upon God. It's not having knowledge of every outcome in every situation. That's really convicting for me, because I know, I feel more like I will have peace when I just know how something's going to work out. And what this is saying is, trust me, even when you don't know when things are going to work out, there is a peace attainable in prayer that surpasses understanding. That's why we're encouraged to talk with God, to pray expectantly. But alongside that, we see something else. We pray expectantly, but we also pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this. It says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here we see how prayer and rejoicing, or prayer and gratitude, work together. Prayer is not just requests we make to God when we want something. But prayer is oftentimes just saying thank you, expressing to God gratitude for things that we don't deserve, which is everything. You know, a question that I get sometimes, or that we really wrestle with, is like, what's God's will for my life? Well, in God's mercy and grace, he just told us in this verse. It says, for this is God's will for you. Do you know what it is? Be grateful. Have gratitude toward him. We should live our lives dependent upon him in prayer. We should pray constantly. You know, I think it'd be helpful for us to understand a little bit what praying constantly looks like, because when I hear that, I think, well, that means I just pray all the time and not do anything else. Is that what you mean? And I don't think that's what it's getting at, because we see we're encouraged to do a lot of other things. But what I think it's getting at here, this praying constantly idea, is that it should just be something that's infused in our life in much more often than it is. I mean, just think about things in your life that you would describe as constant. Blinking, breathing, eating. I don't eat constantly, but I do like to eat. Sleeping, right? Like, those are things that our bodies just need. We operate with these things as need. We don't even think about them. They're constants. And I think that is kind of how we should try and view prayer. It's not just something that I'm just going to set aside a couple minutes, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to, it's like, that's not a bad thing, but I think it's kind of getting away from what this is talking about here. It just should just be part of us. It should just be, you know, something that we do. We just communicate with God constantly. Okay, we've got our definitions, right? Scripture is the way God communicates to us. Prayer is the way that we communicate to God. And when you put those things together, you know what you have? It's a conversation. That's why we titled this series Talking with God, because that is the essence of what prayer is. But the question we need to answer is, okay, where are those two things in our lives? What type of relationship do they have? I mean, do we view them together at all? Because earlier, I gave you my thesis. This is what I said. Prayer and scripture are usually strangers. They're often acquaintances, maybe they could be friends, but I think they should be family. Now, that is my opinion, but I do have a reason for my opinion on why I said that. You know, a few months back, we took an annual survey here at our weekend service. just about our church, about, you know, our spiritual health, and everyone kind of got out their phones and took this survey. It was really helpful, and we do this every year. It's kind of like the annual physical at the doctor, right? We like see how we've grown. We see where we need to grow. Like, we need to stop eating junk food, stuff like that, you know? And but what that survey did was give us some really clear statistics from all of us on how we feel about prayer and how we feel about scripture. And it was revealed to us as a pastoral team that we tend to pray more than we read. 2/3 of us, 67%, said that we pray every day. But less than 1/3, 27%, said that we read every day. Now, I'm not saying this to shame anybody. You know, I mean, I feel like I pray more than I read. I'm not saying that, but it does give some information as to why I'm talking about this. You know, those statistics aren't very surprising to me. This is actually what's been coming out over the last 5 or 10 years here at Riverview. And I think there's a reason. You know, I think prayer just seems to feel like it requires less effort. You know, when I'm like driving down the road and something or someone comes to mind, I can pray while driving. And I can like check the box, pray today. You know, like that's kind of how I can feel about it. But when it comes to reading the Bible, that just feels like a loftier task. Like getting out a book, opening the app on our phone. And not just that, but actually reading and engaging myself in this stuff. And a lot of times it's just, where do I even start? I don't know what God is saying here. It just feels more challenging. But see, here's the thing. Much like the relationships we have in our lives, we need to define this relationship, or DTR, as people say, right? You ever meet someone like, okay, we got to figure this out. Like, this isn't making sense. But no, we really have to make an assessment here. For you personally, are prayer and scripture, are they strangers? Are they acquaintances? Are they friends? Or are they family? To help us figure this out, I made a chart, because I make charts. That's how I think. So you fellow, any chart people, list people, hey, my people, everyone else, I'm sorry. You just gotta deal with it. But here, this helps me understand it. So you see, we've got them over here. Now, let's just start at the top left box. Okay, with strangers, what type of interaction do they have? None. Strangers typically don't interact with each other. Like, you don't know them, right? You don't talk to them. You're just kind of doing your own thing. So in that way, scripture and prayer, yeah, they're just kind of separate. But if they're acquaintances, there is occasional interaction between them. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, how are you? Cool, good to see you. You know, it's kind of like that. Like when you pray, maybe sometimes you think about things God has said in the Bible, or maybe when you're reading, you're like, oh, yeah, I should pray about that. Like it's kind of this, it's this thing that happens, but it's occasional. It's infrequent. It's every once in a while. But if the two things are friends, there's regular interaction between the two of them. Like they tend to just flow together well. You've seen the value of them. There's been time and effort put in. But if reading and prayer are family, the interaction is very reliant. One doesn't exist without the other. It's almost seamless in how they are in your life. It's that praying constantly idea. When you are just considering deeply the things that God has said to you, and that is leading you to talking to him about it, to asking for help, and that leading you back to what he has said. It's back and it's forth. Now, you can kind of see this, but as that chart goes down, as you move down, the relationship is increasing as you move down the table. It's pretty easy to see that. But how do you know where you are? A lot of times you can say, oh yeah, this is the relationship. And the other person's like, no, it's not. Like, we are not on the same page, you know? But that's what the right side of this chart is gonna help us do. On this right-hand side, you're gonna see some words that are gonna maybe describe you and describe your time in the word, in your time of prayer. Again, I don't mean for this to make you feel bad or anything like that, but again, it's meant to be helpful for us, okay? So if scripture and prayer are strangers, what is the impact of that interaction? Well, the word I put on that is cold. And here's what I mean. There can be a coldness, or there can just be a dryness to our time reading the Bible or our time in prayer. You know, maybe we just go to the Bible every once in a while when we really just need God to like make a decision for us. Or maybe we just pray to God like he's a genie in a lamp He's like, God, I just really need this thing. I'm not going to give you any of my heart, any of my mind, any of my time, but God, if you could just do this thing, that'd be great. I'll talk to you in another 2 years. Like, that's kind of how we pray sometimes. And so when there's no relational equity between these two things, they tend to be cold and detached and dry, even individually. But if they're acquaintances, it moves from something being cold to maybe something being disjointed, right? It's not that it's unfeeling, or it's not that it's completely absent or absent of thought or feeling, but it's infrequent. It's without unity, right? It's great when it happens, but it doesn't keep happening. There's something keeping it from becoming a regular thing. But if they're friends, it moves from being this disjointed relationship to one that's connected. Again, regular interaction of scripture and prayer together. You've seen the value. You've seen their impact. But if the friends become family, it moves from something being connected to something being very rich. There is this bank of deposits that's been made between these two things that has just added security to that foundation of their relationship. And when this happens, you see your time in the Word and your time in prayer is impactful. It's needed. It's life-changing. I mean, think about it like a rich thing to be savored, like a rich dessert or something. Like, you don't just scarf that thing down. You're patient. You savor it. You enjoy it. It's that way with relationships. There's people in my life where I'm with and I'm not thinking, all right, time to go. No, it's relationships like, I'm so happy to be here with this person. It's unhurried. It's life-giving. I can spend all day with them. And that's kind of that family relationship oftentimes. You know, when I look at how Jesus prayed in the New Testament, that's what I see. It was a rich and dependent relationship that he had with his heavenly Father. And it was something he prioritized regardless of what he was doing. As you read the Gospels, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just look at it with these eyes. Look at it like, okay, how did Jesus pray? There's just one instance, one short verse I want to highlight. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says this, that Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Right before this and right after this, you know what Jesus was doing? Spending all day with people. Like constantly serving them, healing them. He was occupied. But in the midst of that, and oftentimes people are like, where are you? Why are you here? He's like, I'm praying. I'm with Dad. That's what Jesus did. And not only do you see how Jesus prayed, but look at what Jesus prayed. So much of Jesus' prayers are calling scripture back to God, saying the things that he knows, that he's read in the scripture. It's this back and forth of God's words coming out in him back to God. Okay. So what do we do with this? The first thing I want us to do today, think about yourself as an individual, okay? Define this relationship between scripture and prayer. I mean, we need to take a realistic look at what it is. And again, don't lie to yourself. Don't be like, these are family when they're strangers, okay? Just do an honest assessment. What is the relationship like? And then after you do that, do this. What would it take to increase that relationship? How do strangers become acquaintances? Or have the acquaintances become friends, or the friends become family? Well, there's no spiritual secret to that. You know, it's like any other relationship we have in our life. I think there's three things we do to increase a relationship, and it's priority, it's time, and it's trust. It's those three things. Let's just start with priority. I mean, think about what the next step even looks like. If scripture and prayer never interact, like, introduce them. And you can be really funny about it and, like, at your desk. Hi, prayer, this is scripture. I mean, you can do that if you want to. But no, like, seriously, what I would do, before you open the Bible, if you never open the Bible, maybe start opening the Bible every once in a while. But when you do that, before you do, pray. Just say, God, like, maybe it's been a while, but I'm here. Help me believe what you've said today. Help it convict me. Help it encourage me. Help it just be on my mind today. Before you even open it, do that. 10-second prayer. There you go. And then read something. If you're not sure what to read, pick a psalm. Open up to the middle of your Bible. There's 150 different psalms. So you've got a lot of choices. But any one of them, just read it. You know, I think that's really the best place to start if you're wanting to grow in this area. You pray, you read a psalm, then you respond to it in prayer. Even if it's, God, I don't know what you just said. Like, this is really hard for me to understand. And then go about your day and think about the word. Let that lead you back to prayer. And you know when that's going back and forth, remember what that is. That's a conversation. That's when we're talking with God. It starts with priority. Next thing is time. You want to increase the relationship with someone, you give them your time. You know, when you pray, try to call to mind the things that God has already said to you in his word. You know, maybe you're driving in your car and you're just thanking God for his provision in your life. Like, God, just thank you for what you've given me. I'm undeserving. Thank you. And then let your mind go to scripture about God's provision. Like Exodus 16, when God provided for his people as he led them out of slavery in Egypt, he provided for them for years. Or maybe you're praying and you're asking God for patience with your spouse or your kids or a coworker. Like, God, I just need your help here. While you're doing that, remember 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God's perfect patience toward you when you sin. God's patience toward unbelievers in hopes that they repent and turn to him in faith. Maybe sometimes our prayers are confessing to God things we've done wrong, ways we've broken trust with him. While you're praying those confessions, be reminded of Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, that as far as the east is from the west, that God has removed your transgressions from you. Spend time with these things together. And the last thing is trust. Trust will grow. It will build. Because God is going to meet us in the midst of this. He gives us his grace. All of this is even possible through what he's done. I mean, have you ever thought about why we pray the way we do? Why do we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus? Well, we pray to him in the name of Jesus through the power of the Spirit. Because Jesus is the one who made a way for us to do this. It was through what he did. It was through the gospel. And right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's our mediator. He's interceding on our behalf. That's why we pray things in Jesus' name. Because when we say in Jesus' name, you know what we're saying? It is through him that a holy and righteous God hears us. That's why. Jesus made the way. If there's anything that we take away this morning as a church family, like, let it be this. The God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the all-powerful ruler of everything, wants to know us. He does. Not only does he want to know us, but he loved us enough to share himself with us in a tangible and clear way. He didn't write it in the clouds. He gave it to us in a book. Something that we have in our pocket, on our phone. Like, let us not take advantage of this amazing gift that we have. We have the very words of God here in our own language. This is how we know who God is. This is how we know who we are. And as we spend time in this book, hearing what God has said to us, let us just respond back in prayer, in gratitude, in thanksgiving to who he is. And trust me, I know it's not just a light switch that we flip and it just starts happening. It takes intentionality, right? It can even feel dutiful in the beginning of, gosh, I know I should and I don't want to, but I should. And that's okay. It's okay that it's dutiful. I actually want to end with a quote from J.I. Packer, what he said about that dynamic. And then I'm going to pray. And then actually, we're going to give everyone just about a minute or so before we sing again. We're going to put a prompt on the screen just for you to pray and to think about this in your own life. But this is what J.I. Packer said. He said, good praying is at once both duty and delight. But often we must begin where prayer is primarily duty. As we grow in the knowledge of prayer and in the practice of praying, however, God will sanctify our efforts and delight will come upon us. Let's pray. Well, God, I confess that even in my own life, just hearing that quote, how my prayer life is often just dutiful. And God, I really think that's because I haven't prioritized you in my own life. I haven't given you time. I haven't given you my heart. And Lord, I just thank you for the grace you offer me, that you're not in heaven, arms folded, but they're open to us. You just want to know us. You want to know me. And God, I thank you for that. I even just pray for these scriptures and this topic to lead us to just deep gratitude, God, of who you are. And God, even as we think about how separate these things may be, your words in scripture and our words in prayer, Lord, I want you to help us remember that you are gracious to us. God, that we don't approach you just to get things. We don't approach you just to see what we can get out of it. But God, we approach you because you love us and you want to know us. And that's just such an amazing thing. So God, as we think about this in our own lives, as we think about prayer and our time in the Word, I pray that we see it as an opportunity. We see it like breathing. We see it like eating and sleeping. We see this thing as like it's just a deep need that we have to be dependent upon you and to go about our lives in faith and dependence upon you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he's at your right hand right now interceding for us. Lord, it's in his name that we pray all these things this morning. Amen.